The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
What's up, everyone? I'm Sheena Shea. You may know me from 9 seasons of Bravo's Vanderpump Rules, but I'm here to tell you about my podcast called Shenanigans. We talk about everything from reality TV, pop culture, relationships, parenting, and invite you to join the conversations with Q&A sessions where nothing is off the table. There's so much more I want to share with you. Thanks for listening, and make sure to subscribe to Shenanigans to stay up to date with new episodes every Friday.
Hey guys, welcome to Who's On Content, a show that explores and dissects the influential, behavioral-altering power of content through thought-provoking, culturally relevant, and industry-shifting dialogues. I'm your host, of course, EJ, Head of Special Projects at DBA, and I'm so fucking excited for you to join me on this journey of getting to know the innovative leaders and creators in our insanely addictive industry of content marketing. I mean, if content is the only influencer of behavior, we might as well figure out who's on content. Let's get into it. Hey, hey, everyone. NGP is back for another edition of What's the Deal? And NGP, what's the deal with actually using content to storytell?
Okay, so that's a very important part of creating content. I know it's so easy to get on TikTok or to get on Instagram Reels and just, I do it all the time, just kind of like yell at people. Or just kind of like whatever comes to your mind.
Yeah.
But I think as a creator, if you want to have longevity, you have to think about your story. What are you trying to tell? Yes. What are you trying to get your followers, your community to do? Why are they invested in you? A big part of storytelling, I think, is being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm seeing creators, I think they're having a hard time with that, which is fair because everybody and their mama has a opinion. But, you know, you can follow all the trends on TikTok. You can follow all the trends on Reels or whatever. But, like, people are following you for you and for your story because you're very unique. So give people that, but also think about what's the best way to do that in, like, a professional or business way.
Yeah. Like, are there any brands that are or content creators that you think do a great job of storytelling?
I am obsessed. Can I swear?
I mean, of course, this is Who's On Content.
This is how obsessed I am. I am fucking obsessed with the Skinny Confidential and that damn ice roller.
Come on, Lauren.
And Lauren
is on content.
Right. And I'm not just saying that because we're in Dear Media. Like, she came out with that ice roller. And obviously,
and girl, you've been on one with this ice roller.
I need an affiliate link. The way I push this ice roller is not a game.
Lauren, if you are listening, NGP at DBA needs an affiliate link because the girls is out here hustling this ice roller like Mary Kay.
I would have a Cadillac.
I mean, girl, you would have a pink Cadillac and it would be on brand for
Lauren. It's not a joke. Like, anytime people ask me about skincare, like for their birthday, I'm like, here's an ice roller. Start there.
Girl, what is it about Lauren's content, the Skinny Confidential's content, that made you want to go and try out this?
Yeah, so obviously I've been familiar with Lauren for a long time. She's been doing this for a long time, but I definitely became more familiar with her with the ice roller because she has a slew of other products that deal with skin and face. But the ice roller was the big launch, and just the way she did it, it was so integrated with storytelling and her story. So if you followed it, she talked about, I think she had jaw surgery and her face was puffy.
Yep.
So she gave us that vulnerability piece, her personal experience about her trying these different ice rollers, trying these different things to help with that. And also everyone knows that she's obsessed with skincare. So there's also that expert lens as well.
Come on.
She's been doing this for a very long time. So the community trusts her.
Sowing the seeds.
Yes. So the community trusts her. And then she also took us through like what it took to build the ice roller and just behind the scenes content.
The girls was on content.
She was contenting her ass off. Period. Listen. So there were so many different touch points, and then it was a lot of content. Like, I don't know how big her team was, but it was a lot of content. So I just felt like I was seeing a lot. I was seeing personal stories. I was seeing production. Mm-hmm. I was seeing expert analysis, like other people she was talking to. So I was like, I'm sold. Give me the ice roller.
You was like, girl, run it.
Right. And then I got it, and it was everything that she promised.
And that right there.
That's the key.
It's key.
You cannot
sell a girl's a dream.
Yes. if you're going to be an influencer and you're going to promote things that you like, we're trusting that you like it. And once we buy it, once a consumer buys something off of your recommendation and it's not what you said it was, you've lost a follower, you lost a community member, and you've lost trust. Yes, and credibility. And it's done.
Done.
So be honest. Add your personal nuggets, your personal experience. And I always say, like, living your truth. Like, living your truth when it comes to your experience, living your truth when it comes to product recommendations, so your community can trust you and, at the end of the day, buy from you, because we are selling products.
I mean, we are. And experiences. Well,
yes, and experiences.
I need an experience.
You need an ice roller.
Ugh, I'm going to get me this ice roller. And after I get your affiliate link, NGP, girl, if you ain't hawking ice rollers, you are hawking gems and giving the girls what
they
need.
Thank you. And, you know, Lauren, if you need like a sales associate,
she's your girl.
I can do this on Saturdays. I got you.
All right, NGP, I'll see you soon.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Who's on Content. And today we are blessed with the presence of an amazing Black woman who is truly cultivating community through the brand content that she is in charge of. And with that, Shannon Womack, welcome to Who's on Content.
Thank you so much, EJ. I really appreciate you having me.
No, of course, Shannon. Shannon, let's just dive right in. And what I always like to ask our guests is, how do you define content?
You know, I think that content is a point of connection. So connection to new information, to new people, to yourself. I think it brings people together, helps you learn something new. Maybe it makes you feel something that could be feeling understood, or maybe that feeling is, wow, I didn't know that. I think content is broad. So fashion is content, TikTok post is content, the new Kanye design McDonald's packaging is content. So ultimately, to answer your question, everyone's on content.
Yeah. Everyone, Shannon Womack, the woman, the myth, the legend. I mean, that answer is truly why we had to have you on this show. And who is the content of Shannon Womack?
That's a big question. I think I would say I am curious to my core. You know, I'm curious about other people, which means that I'm obsessed with any personality test you could name. So astrology, Enneagram, all of it. I love to learn about, you know, our shared experiences, what makes us different, what sparks joy. I'm also really curious about the world. So for as long as I can remember, and I'm not trying to be cliche here because I work at Delta, but travel has been a deep passion for me.
Yes.
I'm driven by being able to learn about the world through travel, and through that also learn about different cultures. So I think bringing that all together to get to have a job where I'm really focused on talking to people about the value of getting on a flight and experiencing another community or culture that is deeply aligned with who I am as a person.
I love that. And what we are finding is a resonating theme with guests on Who's on Content is the content of discovery and exploration. We recently had Jessica Nabongo, who I know is a huge fan.
Delta. I know Jessica. She's so impressive.
So impressive. And her book is coming out, or is out, you know, with National Geographic. And she talked about how travel really allowed her to connect with the neighbors of the world. And that we should all be neighbors to each other and treat strangers with kindness as we would neighbors in our neighborhood. Because the global world is our neighborhood. And I love that you mentioned that traveling has allowed you and allows you to connect with not just people, but different cultures, to really find the shared commonalities of just what it means to be a human being in the world today.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, I think that's so important personally. And then I also think that's so important from a brand perspective. You know, I deeply believe that travel makes people better people.
Yes.
And for the reasons that you name, because when you kind of step outside of your comfort zone or what's familiar to you, and you get in a space that might seem foreign, it might seem more uncomfortable, there's this expansiveness of your perspective that you can't go back from. And ultimately, I think that is what makes the world better.
I love that. And when did the content of travel enter your world?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, I've been at Delta for 5 years, so it's entered my work more recently in the last 5 years. I think it's always been a part of who I've been as a person, though. So I remember really the first trip that I ever remember taking was when I went to New York for the first time. I was maybe 5 or 6.
Okay.
And from the concept of kind of like falling in love with the brand and understanding like what brand signals to you, mm-hmm. I feel like that was the earliest time I remember that feeling, just because I think the energy, the light,
yes.
the contrast between the concrete and yes. the buildings and the yellow taxis, there was this sense that like New York stood for diversity and energy and hustle and movement and progress.
Yes.
And those were things that I instinctively identified with.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was the first time I remember feeling like, yeah, this is like a brand. This is an energy for me. And so ultimately, I think like when you travel, and I think I learned that then, when you travel, you have the opportunity to really find yourself in the spaces that you go to. You have the opportunity to find different dimensions of yourself and also discover different things about other people that ultimately broaden your aperture.
I love that. And Shannon, for our listeners, tell them your official title at Delta.
My official title is Director of Brand Marketing. So I lead our brand strategy and our national advertising campaigns, the latest of which was the work that we did for the Olympics, where we produced 5 spots for the Winter Olympics that are near and dear to my heart, really because of the continued focus on, you know, how do we make this bigger than the opportunity that we have for people to take a flight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more than that. It's really all about leaning into that ability to, when you take a flight, you put yourself in this different space. You can connect with yourself. You can connect with the world.
I love that. And I think we recently had Imani Ellis, the founder of CultureCon, on, and I asked mm-hmm. Imani what culture meant to her. And she said, you know, I never thought about culture because it was innately within me. I was just living my life. So, you know, getting my hair braided by her, you know, getting her hair braided by her grandmother and eating soul food on Sundays, like that was culture, but that was her life. So she didn't have the connection that, oh, people would define this as culture where I define this as life. And I think when I think about Delta, I think Delta has a culture where it's like, girl, we about to catch those Delta flights? It's like, it's almost like Kleenex almost, you know, where mm-hmm. there's a brand that can really stand on its own and stand for an entire industry because the work that you, your team has done to create, I mean, Delta is the platinum diamond standard when it comes to travel. I feel it from the moment I walk into the terminal when I'm on, but just the way you communicate with your, what do you call them? Travelers? Do you call them customers?
Our customers. Yeah.
I love that.
And that means so much to hear you say that. And I listened to the episode that you did with Imani. I am a huge fan of hers. I'm a huge fan of the community that she's created through the CCNY. I think the platform
yes.
that she's giving creatives of color is major. So it meant so much to kind of hear her talk about, I heard her shout Delta out. So that meant a lot. It means so much for you to shout Delta out. And I think really, you know, there is intention behind that. And so the fact that that's resonating with people and it's being felt is so meaningful to me because, you know, we know that we have this responsibility to the world, to all the global communities that we serve, and being able to take you from New York to Accra or take you from Seoul to Atlanta.
Yeah.
There's a responsibility for really using our platform to uplift diverse stories and to make sure that we are really giving people or using ourselves as a platform for other people's voices to be heard, making sure that, you know, we celebrate the fact that diversity, inclusivity, that's really the reason that we're here to help enable that cross-cultural connection that happens anytime you leave where you're from. So that's extremely important to me as a marketer. And it really is the foundation of everything that we're trying to do with the Delta brand.
I love that. And I love that Delta understands the global impact they have, not just from global entry, but just not just physical global entry, but, you know, mental global entry into how people would consider to travel. And what I also love is the intentional brand partnerships. Like you said, the Winter Olympics, but then also there was a partnership with Amex. You know, Amex is another platinum diamond standard of cards. And so when you're approaching brand partnerships that allow Delta to use its platform to introduce its customers to more, I guess, better experiences that they can mm-hmm. have with the Delta brand? What is the filter you're putting those potential partnerships through?
I think that's a great question. You know, I think more and more it's about, do we have shared values?
Love that.
So we have been focused on what is our purpose and what's our reason for being for some time now. Like, we've understood that it's about more than taking people on a flight. You know, we want people to feel like the flight in itself is kind of part of the journey, not just a means to an end. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just about what that partnership provides on like a functional transactional level. I think it's more of, is there alignment around shared values? Do we consider the same things important, like diversity?
Yeah.
Do they care about sustainability? Is there a way to make a broader social impact in the way that we're able to bring our two brands together? And so I think those are certainly things that are important for every single partnership that we have.
Mm-hmm. When you think about brands today, every brand has to be a media company. No matter mm-hmm. what your product or service is that you're providing, is it more difficult or more exciting when you think about the journey that we have with a customer doesn't start and end with the purchase of a ticket or the departure or arrival of a flight? The comms in between that keeps that customer coming back, is that exciting or more difficult because of all the social media and all the platforms we have to engage with?
I think it's both. I mean, yeah. you know, obviously, in this day and age, the brands that have the strongest communities and fans have created them through content. And what yes. that means is that we're not just telling these linear, one-sided stories through commercials that maybe occurred like 10, 20 years ago. It's about creating content almost all the time that supports people or shares a perspective, improves lives, entertains, curates on a nonstop basis. And so I think it is obviously a challenge because yeah. how can you always be on for people? But at the same time, I think there's an opportunity in that challenge to mean more to people mm-hmm. and to fill in some gaps that I think have existed. And so it's, you know, for us, like we say, we don't want to just have this transactional relationship. We really do want to be in lockstep with our customers to really have an overall positive impact on their lives. And so I think having the platform that we have through social media and being able to tap into content in this way gives us the opportunity to be more meaningful, which is ultimately a net benefit to both us as a brand and also ideally to our customers.
I love that. Shannon, you are a mother of two beautiful Black kings. Is that correct?
I am. I really am. And that is like the best thing that I do.
Yeah. Talk to me about the content of mothering just in today's society.
Yeah, I mean, EJ, it's not easy. It is a huge blessing. Like, there is really no higher honor.
Yeah.
I'm really lucky to have such a good family. I've been married to my husband for 10 years.
Come on. And yes, Black love.
Yeah. And honestly, my family is my priority, period. And I think what I can say is I have learned, and I'm still learning a lot from a lot of women who have come before me that have had full lives, like, you mm-hmm. know, had a family, also had a career, wanted to do both of those things. And I think there are things that I've learned, there's things that I'm still learning.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's been really important to me is be intentional about boundary setting. And so that means my family is my priority. There are after hour events that maybe I'm not attending. There are work trips that maybe I'm compressing. I'm a person that I've learned to like really manage FOMO where I don't feel it the way that maybe
I'm still
felt
trying
it in
to
the
manage
past.
That. Cause I'm like, oh my God, what if something happens?
It's like, it's okay. Yeah, it'll be okay.
Yep.
I read this book a long time ago by Tiffany Dufo called Drop the Ball. And I think that really changed my perspective.
Because adding to the Amazon cart right after this, dropping the ball. Okay.
Yeah. It was about the fact that there are rubber balls in your life. So there are things that like you can drop and it will be okay. It'll bounce back. All is fine. Oh. And there are also glass balls. And those are things that can't drop. And so I think having that mentality around everything I do has really helped me have a clearer sense that even in the midst of times that feel hard or chaotic, like there is clarity of what's most important. And clearly, like, my family's a ball that I just can't drop. I read this article in the New York Times maybe like a week or two ago, and mm-hmm. it really spoke to my soul. It was about parenting right now.
Ooh.
And one of the quotes was like, just buy the pre-cut fruit. Which to me is like that daily reminder that like you can take shortcuts where you can, like everything doesn't have to be perfect, doesn't have to be done the hard way. And so like that is something I'm a big fan of as well.
I love that concept of rubber and glass balls, because I think we think all balls are glass. And if we shatter this thing, we're going to disappoint someone. But the greatest disappointment that we can ever have is the disappointment of self.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you are in charge of marketing for one of the largest brands in the world. You are raising a family. Those are things that you are giving of yourself to. How do you create content that allows you to just honor Shannon and go inward and create the boundaries that almost refill you in a way?
That's a great question. I think some of that I've gotten even more intentional about through COVID. You know, people ask all the time, like, what pandemic hobbies that you take up? And I feel like on my husband's end, it's super easy. Tennis became his thing. And I'm like, I don't know, like, what hobby did I take up? But I think something that's become a big thing for me in terms of honoring myself and giving myself like space is I've become like a big like person. I take walks all the time. So if I'm working remotely, like I'll try to take as many walking calls as I can. When I'm in the office, I'm trying to do walk and talk meetings. I go on walks by myself a lot because it's just been something where I'm not a hiker. You know, I don't have that passion for nature in the way that maybe some people do. I'm more of an urban hiker where I like to see like buildings and cities.
I love that.
But it brings me joy and I feel like it's a way for me to connect with myself. And so that's a big thing that I do for me.
Yeah. And the content of The Strong Black Woman, that narrative, I thought we were moving away from it. You know, everyone was saying softness. You know, people were saying, we're not having a hot girl summer. We're having a soft summer. We're going to softly go through this. But there, you know, over time, and of course, because of historical context, Black women have always been served content directly and indirectly that says, no matter what, you don't fail.
Yeah.
How do you silence that, I guess, forever ticking time bomb that you will eventually, when you feel the pressure to show up in whatever area, personal or professional, that, wait, I'm a Black woman, I can't fail.
Yeah, I think that is real. And I'm really grateful also because I think there's been a, like a little bit of an awakening to your point, like in the time that we are now with like soft living, also like challenging the whole concept of resilience, because it was for a while in early COVID, it was like about resilience, yes. XYZ. And then there's kind of like, I don't want to be resilient anymore. Like I want to acknowledge that some things are really hard and that I'm struggling and that's okay. So those are things that I have definitely applied in my mindset now. I think that there is a lot more space for self-forgiveness. Like, okay, you put yourself out there. Maybe it didn't go the way that you wanted to go. It's all right. It's you know, that's not a reflection on you personally.
Rubber ball, so like you say, Eric, rubber ball, it'll bounce back. You will bounce back.
Exactly. So like there's some like weight and freedom that I personally have leaned into giving myself more of. And I think I also have been intentional about that because I'm trying to be a model for other people as well. And I do agree. Like, I think that it is not easy to be a Black woman in corporate America. And there is this feeling that you need to play in this specific box, which can be really tough. And I think a part of that too has also been feeling more empowered and also really a greater sense of responsibility for like being more authentically me.
I love
that. So doing less of filtering my thoughts, being more intentional about sharing like what I like, what I don't like, because I think that when I can show up more fully as like who I am and less of like trying to put things through the corporate filter, I think that also gives other people the feeling and the freedom to show up as themselves too, which is ultimately what helps us get out of some of those challenges of saying, I need to show up this way as a strong Black woman, because this is what I've been told is important.
And that's so perfect because you lift while you climb. I'm just like taking moments because like you are truly exactly who I thought you were. You know, I mean, you are just an amazing person, but you also see the world through so many lenses. And you think about the impact that not only the experience of content will have on you, but it will have on other people. And what I think my final question I'm going to ask you before we hop into rapid fire is mentoring and representation. You know, I'm sure there are people that see you in that position and say, oh my gosh, if she could, I can. And so how important is it for you in terms of like giving back and just reminding yourself that there are others that will come behind me. Let me leave it a little nicer.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that I think about all the time. So there are two things I want to say. The first thing is that, you know, I am on this journey with myself. So the whole thing about like imposter syndrome, it's like, I will meet people and they're like, I want to learn from you. I want to talk to you. And I'm like, me? Why me?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I saw this quote, I don't know, maybe it was on the gram like a week or so ago. And it was like, I'm over imposter syndrome. Like I'm here because I deserve to be here.
Absolutely.
And so leaning into that space, I think is something that I'm pushing myself to do more of as well, because I think it's important, obviously for me, but then way beyond me. I also, because of the conversation we had earlier, I know it can be really isolating to be a minority in corporate America. Mm-hmm. There is this perception that you automatically don't fit in. And with that in mind, I'm really focused on creating community. So mentoring in terms of more junior people on the team, mentoring in terms of my peers. I think the more that we have each other as a network to go to vent with, to, you know, game plan, to understand, the more we create community for ourselves, I think that's how we get this sense that we're not alone and that we can also bring other people along. So
I love that. What's next for Delta?
What's next for Delta? So many things are next for Delta, EJ. So like, you know, we talked about, our focus is really all on how can we really use our platform to help connect people across cultures. And to me, that's such a big responsibility. It's such a big privilege.
Yeah.
So we have a lot planned. By the time this comes out, we likely will have launched our next brand campaign. And the focus is really all on the story of, we're looking to connect people across different cultures. Mm-hmm. There's so much that comes, so much goodness that comes from putting yourself out into the world,
yeah,
from taking a chance on yourself, from also putting yourself in a position where you are exposed to different points of view and different perspectives. And so this is all about, you know, we talked about this and you mentioned this.
Yeah.
You know, we're really intentional when it comes to our casting. So who are we featuring in our advertising? Who are we featuring in our content? How are we expanding that definition that comes to mind when you think about what a traveler looks like and what travelers of certain, you know, ethnicity or other kind of diversity, what do they do? We're also really focused on expanding that definition of what does a business person look like? Mm. What does professional mean? And so you'll see a lot from us that's been really intentional around how we can really create a broader lens of what that means. Because for us, that's kind of why we exist, is yeah, kind of a medium to be able to tell more broad stories, stories that ultimately help to expand perspective on what it means to be any one person showing up in the world and really celebrating all of us purely just for showing up in the world.
Oh, I love that. All right, Shannon, we've come to the portion of the show where I'm going to ask you 4 rapid fire questions. After each question, I'm going to say, who's on content? Your favorite form of content, who's on content?
Shoes.
Yes.
Shoes. I'm a big shoe person.
You like heels or flats?
Oh, I love heels. Oh, I love heels. Yes. That was like such a sad thing when, you know, we really couldn't leave the house.
Oh my God.
Because I'm like, I have nowhere to wear my heels.
You're like,
so I needed to get back to wearing my heels to feel like myself again.
Nothing warms my heart more than a good shoe on a hardwood floor.
Mm-hmm,
that clack, mm-hmm. I'm like, yes. Quality.
That is a vibe. I will also shout out Brooke DeVard's Instagram account.
So yes, we love Brooke at here at Who's On Content. Naked Beauty Planet, if you are not tapped in.
Yes, I'm a big fan. I literally think I buy almost everything she recommends. Ugh, so
Brooke is amazing. You need a reset. Who's On Content?
I need a reset. I light a candle. I'm a big fan of Harlem Candles. I think the value of yes, smell when it comes to content creation is underrated.
Oh my God. And let's, you know, we're all about plugging and making sure that we expand people's, not only their perceptions, but their connections. And Kudzi, who is the director of creator community at TikTok, was on Who's On Content, and he is a candle influencer. His handle is Sir Candleman. So if you're okay, in the candles, he is candle connoisseur. Took me on okay, an hour long trip to Candle Delirium, which is here in West Hollywood. And when I tell you, the man knows his candles. He's not to be played with. So
okay,
definitely
just press follow.
Him. Okay. When you need to be inspired, who's on content?
I catch a flight.
Yes.
Grease is up next on my list.
Me too. I'm going to Mykonos in July.
Oh, perfect. You'll have to send me recommendations.
I definitely will, ma'am. Final rapid fire question. when you need to feel joy, who's on content?
That's definitely my family. That's my husband. Maybe we're having a margarita while watching reality TV. That's my kids. Maybe we're at the playground. And then that's definitely going on walks.
Listen, Black joy is just undeniable. Final question for you, Shannon, and all the amazing work that you've done and seen in your time before and now at Delta. What is the future of content marketing? You know, before it was literally traditional media that was the vehicle that a lot of brands use to advertise. And now you can advertise from your phone. You know, if you have a phone, you have a platform, you are a media company. So what is our future?
Yeah, I think it's, for me, it's less of the what and more of the how. I think that the way that we work now is so fundamentally different than the way that we worked a few years ago. I mean, the prevalence of remote, prevalence of hybrid. And so I think where the dust will settle and what the office of the future looks like. And also, I think how that impacts how our teams are structured, how that impacts how we build culture, and then how that impacts how we actually get the work done are going to be pretty meaningful in terms of what the future of the industry looks like. In that vein, I also think that our employees of now and of the future are different. Their expectations are different. There are things that employees know to ask for now or have learned that they can't unknow and can't shift, which I also think is ultimately a good thing. With more Gen Zers, there's this shift away from hustle culture towards human culture.
Yep.
I think that's only going to accelerate. And that, I think, will all have a huge impact on how we get to the content that we know and love today.
I love it, Shannon. Shannon Womack. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your service to our community by just showing up and bravely and boldly being yourself. And thank you for the content of Delta. And just thank you for the content of you. Thank you for joining us on Who's on Content.
The feeling is mutual, EJ. It really, really is. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening. Be sure to follow us at The Real DBA and give us a rating and leave us a review. See you next week.